Concode 23 Radio.
Concode 23 Radio.
Le nostre interviste.
Today is connected with us from Australia, Dr. Paige Stradwich, postdoctoral research associate of a Coral Nurture Program, University of Technology, Sydney. Thank you, Paige, to accept our invitation.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat with you today.
Okay. So the conservation program of the Great Barrier Reef in Australia has not forgotten the issue of tourism. The Coral Nurture Program is a unique partnership between researchers and tour operators to develop novel stewardship based on the management of economically high-value Australian Great Barrier Reef location, with the goal to transform both ecological and social resilience to environmental change. Can you tell us more about the program and what the purpose of the program?
Absolutely. So in 2016 and 17 on the Great Barrier Reef, there was a mass bleaching event which caused a huge amount of damage. And after that, in 2018, Coral Nurture Program was founded. And basically it was because lots of people wanted to implement additional stewardship at their sites. They wanted to do more than what they were already doing to help their sites recover. So at Coral Nurture Program, we want to work with nature. So we are developing and implementing the interventions that assist natural recovery. We also have aims to build the resilience of these coral reef systems, as well as the local communities to future challenges that may come their way.
Okay. Is tourism an asset or a problem for the barrier?
Tourism is absolutely a huge part of the Great Barrier Reef. So the Great Barrier Reef accepts 2 million tourists annually to come and visit it. So it's an amazing resource for us to be able to communicate the problems that the Great Barrier Reef is facing, and for these tourists to take that story home with them and to implement positive change in their life to help preserve the coral reefs into the future. But also the people that work in the tourism industry are invaluable. They are so passionate about protecting the sites that they visit every day and doing their part. And basically they're like an army of willing people ready to do whatever it takes to help preserve their sites into the future.
What strategy do you use? For example, tools, methods?
So what we do is we work with equipment that's very low tech, low cost and easy to work with. And we use this to construct coral nurseries. So we propagate corals. So corals naturally reproduce in two different ways, and we harness one of those ways, which is asexual reproduction. So basically a small piece of the coral can break off and grow into a whole new coral. And what we do is we collect up corals that have naturally broken, which are called fragments of opportunity, and we grow these in our coral nurseries. And then once they've grown bigger, we plant them back onto the reef, and then we can increase coral cover like that. And we can also help to increase the resilience of the sites where we work.
What is the relationship with the local community? Are they involved in your work, of course?
Absolutely. So a lot of the local community we work with in partnership through the program. So mostly that's people that are working in the tourism industry, but also we have lots of people that are interested in what we're doing. The Great Barrier Reef has a lot of stakeholders from diverse backgrounds, and they are really keen to know what's being done to help the Great Barrier Reef. So we go to talks, we present at conferences, and share what we're doing with the community as well. So they're involved in that way, but also sometimes with the hands-on approach if they are in the partnership with the program.
Does the program contribute to fundraising for scientific research and reef conservation activity. What is the value, its contribution to conservation job?
Absolutely. So we are a partnership, as we mentioned before, with the tourism operators, traditional owners, and researchers at the University of Technology, Sydney. So we do a lot of fundraising ourselves. We're always applying for grants to get funds that we can give the tourism operators to be able to do the hands-on activity of the planting and the propagating of corals. But then also that contributes to our scientific research as well. So, it's a continuously evolving process where we try to find more funding so we can continue our activities. But that's something that we've worked with, and it's just sort of how it works in the world at the moment. Everyone is always trying to secure more funding to do more of what the great work that they are doing. So it feeds both ways in our program. So it goes directly to the application of the interventions, but also feeds directly into the research too.
So, are you satisfied with the result of your work, or should more be done?
That's a great question. I think always more can be done. As I mentioned, with the funding, if we had more money, if we had more people in the water, we could always have a bigger impact. But I have a lot of hope and optimism from what we've been able to achieve so far. As I mentioned, lots of really passionate people doing everything they can, and you really can see the sites change over time, where we have been conducting activities where the tourism operators and stakeholders have been going out and planting corals weekly or monthly. You can really see it increase the coral cover and keep the site looking really nice. So yeah, we can always do more, and hopefully we can keep working into the future. It would be a dream if we didn't have to do anything like this in the future. You know, we wish we could leave nature just to do its thing, but at the moment we're trying to work with nature to assist that natural recovery during the time it takes for action on climate change to come into effect, because in the grand scheme of things, that's the major threat to coral reefs. So all we can do with our activities is buy time for coral reefs while we address those major threats.
For many years now, you have been taking tourists to the barrier every day. What is the actual state of the barrier of the reef?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I was on the reef today, and you can definitely see those impacts. The Great Barrier Reef has experienced 7 mass bleaching events in the past 3 decades. So those impacts definitely have been felt. The reef is humongous. It's the size of Italy, actually, if you put it into that relation.
Unfortunately.
And it's a very complex system, so we can't really make these statements about the whole Great Barrier Reef. It's definitely felt those impacts, but there are areas that are really doing well. They've made some great recovery over the years since the bleaching events that impacted them. So it's a complex story. We can't make any overarching statements about it, but it's definitely in a precarious situation where we really need to take action now to preserve it for future generations.
So, what do you think can be done to preserve this wonder, this precious treasure chest of biodiversity, essential to human life on this planet?
Absolutely. Well, we work alongside many other organizations that have common goals to use these nature-based solutions to protect the coral reefs on different scales. So for us, our scale is small, and we really focus on those high-value sites that tourism operators visit daily. There are many other people that are also working on other solutions that are at different scales. But really, we also need action on climate change, as I said. So we can apply all of these nature-based solutions to help assist natural recovery, and that's just one tool or a few tools in the toolbox. And then we also need this at the same time as addressing climate change. So if we don't remove those primary stresses, all of the work that we're doing will be for nothing. But if we don't apply these intervention methods during the time it takes to address climate change, there'll be no reefs left. So we really need it all together. We need the assisted recovery, the people on the ground monitoring what's happening and the trajectories. And also, then we need to address the climate change to re reduce those stresses in the future.
Paige, do you have a message for our audience? Final message for this
I think
interview?
so. I think for me, I'm very lucky to be able to visit reefs regularly. And there's such a power in being able to visit a reef and see what it is, see the impact, see how beautiful, magical these systems are. So I definitely recommend people to go and have a holiday, go and visit a reef near you, and it really incites a lot of passion in people to do their part. And then the second part of my message would be that everyone can make a positive impact for coral reefs in the future. So even if you think that a small action like recycling your plastics or reducing the amount of meat you eat or buying your fruits and vegetables locally, even though you think it might be a small change, it really can have a big impact if lots of people around the world adopt it. So don't think that you can't have a positive impact as well.
Thank you very much for your availability, for your time, and to stay with us. Hope you talk with you as soon as possible in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to talking to you in the future as well.
Con Code 23 Radio.
Con Code 23 Radio.
Le nostre interviste.